this episode is a great way to start your weekend because we have the amazing Devin Ross as a guest. Devin is a literary agent at New Leaf Literary, and she drops some great insights and tips later in the episode. But first, as usual, let's talk about my favorite books right now. One of my favorite books right now is Guilty by Laura Elliott. It is this really crazy mystery. A girl goes missing, and her uncle was really close to her, and he ends up being a suspect, and his life kind of falls apart. And it is this story of what someone does when that happens and how they pick up the pieces, and then what are the repercussions for doing that to somebody else. Because there was this reporter who really like had it out for him and kept making it look like he was the one responsible. So here's the blurb. It begins with a phone call. It ends with a missing child. On a warm summer's morning, 13-year-old schoolgirl Constance Lawson is reported missing. A few days later, Constance's uncle, Carl Lawson, suddenly finds himself swept up in a media frenzy created by journalist Amanda Bowe, implying that he is the prime suspect. 6 years later, Carl's life is in ruins. His marriage is over, his family destroyed, but the woman who took everything away from him is thriving. With a successful career, husband, and a gorgeous baby boy, Amanda's world is complete. Until the day she receives a phone call, and in a heartbeat, she is plunged into every mother's worst nightmare. So Guilty by Laura Elliott has this really big time jump in what happens, and what happens with Constance plays a huge role in what happens 6 years later. And just the way it's all tied together and the way it works, you're just sitting there and you're like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? It's a really good one. So if you want a good thriller mystery, I would recommend that. The next book I really love, I read it a couple months ago, but it is Keep This to Yourself by Tom Ryan. And a lot of my favorite things. Serial type killer and like a sleepy coastal town, which I love because my book I just finished, When Jaybird Went Missing, is in a sleepy coastal town. And it's about Mac, who is trying to figure out what happened to his best friend, who was this murderer's final victim. And so he's trying to basically solve this crime. The police never figured it out and leads him down some really dangerous corners, and you will die at the ending. Hopefully not really, though. Here's the blurb. It's been a year since the catalog killer terrorized the sleepy seaside town of Camara Cove. Great name. Killing 4 people before disappearing without a trace. Like everyone else in town, 18-year-old Mac Bell is trying to put that horrible summer behind him. Easier said than done, since Mac's best friend Connor was the murderer's final victim. But when he finds a cryptic message from Connor, he's drawn back into the search for the killer, who might not have been a random drifter after all. Now, nobody, friends, neighbors, or even the sexy stranger with his own connection to the case, is beyond suspicion. Sensing that someone is following his every move, Mac struggles to come to terms with his true feelings towards Connor while scrambling to uncover the truth. It's got a great little romance in it, and the mystery is top-notch, so I definitely recommend Keep This to Yourself by Tom Ryan. So, let's talk about queering for a little bit. As you might suspect, Devin and I talk about queering in our interview, and she gives some great tips for authors who are queering, so be ready for that. But first, I just recently finished my final revisions on my work in progress, When Jaybird Went Missing. I've been working on this book since 2017, so it feels really good to be done with it. It's gone through a couple pretty major revisions of ages of the main characters and even switching it from first person to third person. And it's at a place where I just feel good about it. I feel strong about it, and so I'm stopping because that's a hard place to get to with your manuscript, right? And I don't want to do anything else that could jeopardize where it's at right now. So I wrote my query letter for Jaybird a couple months ago, and it really helped me direct my revisions. I knew where I wanted it to be, And I kept going back to my query letter to remind myself what changes need to be made, because there was a couple key things I mentioned in the query letter that were part of my revisions. And I'll be honest with you, with my last book, This Dead World, writing the query was insanely difficult. It came easier to me this time around, and I started to realize that there's actually some truth to that statement that people make that goes like, you know, identify issues in your manuscript if your query isn't working, or as you write your query, you see the things wrong with your manuscript, you know? And so the fact that this query for Jaber just came along really nice, and I let it sit there for a little bit, you know? I like to do that, I like to write it, then come back and edit it, and then leave it there for a little bit and come back and edit it. But I feel like my query is concise, includes the main points, shows the stakes, all that important stuff that it's supposed to, but also I feel like really pulls you in and makes you want to know what happened. So, woohoo! And in the past, I've always queried in larger batches. 10 to 15 queries a day. You know, I would do like 5 days in a row. That's a lot of queries and a lot of rejection in your email. So this time I want to take it slower to limit that disappointment that I might get in my email inbox. So yesterday, after I put the finishing touches on everything and my first 10, 5, and 50 pages or whatever, I sent out 5 queries. And then I stopped myself. I figured this would be a good test of my query letter. I like to do that too. Is I think it's smart. Like if you send out 100 queries with a query letter and then you're like, oh crap, my query letter is bad or there's a typo or something, you've kind of shot yourself in the foot with a lot of them. So it's a good test of my query letter to see if it's, you know, as compelling as I think it is. And I woke up the next day to 2 responses. First of all, that was kind of quick, right? Like 2 responses the next day. Crazy. One of the responses was a rejection, but it wasn't a form letter. The agent gave me some feedback, thought my query was great, the story idea was great, but just didn't fall in love with my first pages. Easy enough. You know, it's not going to be for everybody, and I totally get that. The second response was a request for a partial. I've never gotten a request for a partial before. I started to think when I was querying my last book that I was just going to query, stop, write another book, query, stop, just for the rest of my life. And that's okay. If I never get published, it's okay. I love it, and that's why I do it. But right now, I'm firmly living in the place of keeping my hopes and dreams low. So I'm not banking on anything from this partial. It's super exciting to at least know that my query letter is hitting the right places and making an agent want to read more. So wish me luck on this roller coaster that is querying. And now, the main event. This is the first literary agent interview on the Rose Quinn podcast. Exciting, right? A couple of months ago, I made the jump, and I figured we've heard from so many amazing authors, and I will never stop interviewing authors, because as an aspiring author, and all of you aspiring authors who listen, it's incredibly helpful to hear the different stories and the different journeys that people take, because no journey is the same. Some people send out 2 query letters and get an agent. Some people query for 10 years. Some people, like Chris, in 2 episodes ago, he didn't even send out any query letters. Crazy, right? So authors and hearing from authors is just incredibly important. I'll always do it. But I think it's super important too to hear from agents. And I started to reach out to agents and about talking to me on the podcast. And I've had wonderful responses, which I was kind of surprised about. Agents I know are nice people and they want to support authors and all that. So I don't know why I was surprised, but me as an unagented writer, I'm like, they probably won't take me seriously, but here we are. And Devin is the first of many agents that you will get to hear from on the podcast. So be excited. Like I said earlier, Devin is an agent with New Leaf Literary. And she gives us a look at her journey through loving books and through her journey to becoming an agent and working with authors. She tells us about her query no-nos and what is on her manuscript wish list. So here we go. Let's get to know Devin. Thank you. us a little bit about yourself and what drew you to publishing and wanting to be a literary agent.
That's a great question. So my first job in publishing, I think, is really kind of what's defined my career so far. I started out when I was still in college working as an author's assistant. And so I was working very closely with authors right off the bat. It all actually kind of happened by coincidence. I was at a holiday party and one of my family friends knew an author that needed help and I needed a side hustle to make some money in college, which is how it all began.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
I know. I was an English major, so yeah. It made sense. But I didn't necessarily know I wanted to go into publishing. And so I worked exclusively with self-published authors, mostly self-published romance authors during the big self-publishing ebook boom. And it gave me a really interesting perspective on how publishing worked. Most of them had been traditionally published at some point in time and had decided to self-publish instead. So it actually kind of gave me a jaded perspective on publishing
from
the very beginning.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think that perspective really helped me long term because it taught me very early on to question the norm and to really ask about things and not just accept things at face value.
Yeah.
Which, has led me to my career as an agent, I think, in a lot of ways. I have done in-house work as well. My first, official gig was at Penguin Random House at Crown Publishing Group. And I was there for, just over a year, but went to work at New Leaf right after and just really enjoyed working with authors. And I think in the end, it was really important to me to advocate for authors and advocate for their careers long term, which just isn't quite as easy to do in-house, especially, when you're working tangentially with authors, So.
Yeah.
I feel like my whole career path has kind of been pointing me in this direction.
That's awesome. That's super exciting. How long have you been at New Leaf?
I've been at New Leaf, 3.5 years.
That's awesome.
So I've been there. I started working under Joanna Volpe of New Leaf founding fame, and I worked with her for several years before becoming an agent myself about a year and a half ago.
That's awesome. I love that you started off being an assistant in the self-published world, which I applaud the people who self-publish their books and dedicate all that time and effort to doing that. It is a lot of work. So, it's wonderful that those people do it and are so successful at it.
Yes, completely. I worked with a number of USA Today bestselling romance authors and they're just killing it, And, when you hit a certain level of success self-publishing, you don't have as much time to do kind of the marketing stuff that you need to get done in order to sell your books on your own.
Yeah.
And so that was really where my job came in, which was great. They got to do their writing and I handled their Twitter and Instagrams and stuff. And we both got what we wanted.
Yeah. That sounds fun.
It was, yeah.
The writing part is hard. So just to do the Instagram and Twitter would be the best.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So you said you majored in English. So how did your love of books and of, storytelling begin?
I was a little bit of a late bloomer there. I know a lot of people in publishing are like readers their entire lives.
Yeah.
I struggled with reading when I was younger. I don't think I was never actually diagnosed with dyslexia or anything, but I actually words wrongly or out of order, and so I really struggled with reading and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so I actually became a reader because my sister would read books to me, and so she read a series by David Eddings, who's a fantasy writer, to me when I was probably 8. And we went through all of them. He was a very prolific writer. And I think there are 12 books in the series.
Jeez.
And we would just sit down and I would draw and my sister would read to me and it was great. And I got to experience books kind of through her in those younger years. And then it wasn't until I was in high school that I really started reading on my own. I loved my English classes. I think I was like one of those lucky people that had one of those English teachers that just kind of spread their love of the written word. And so I read Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card myself, and that was really just what spurred it. It was like, wow, reading is great. I can experience all of these worlds.
Yes. I think that's great. I definitely think there are people who are like, reading comes easily to them. I'm one of those people. My dad is a huge reader and passed that on to us. But I know other people, like my husband, can't make it through the first 10 pages of a book. Like, he can't sit down every single day and read a book, you know?
So yeah,
And it takes different people different amount of times to get to that point. But I think we have your sister to thank for you being where you are now and being able to help agents or to help authors get where they want to go.
Completely. She would definitely take credit for that.
Yes. We will give her that credit.
Yeah.
So now let's talk about something that I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this are going to want to hear the answers to, but let's talk about queries for a little bit, which are, the bane of everyone's existence. So my first question about queries is, in your opinion, do you think queries need to stick to that specified formula, not so much submission guidelines for each agency, but just, the golden rules for queries?
I don't. I do tend to believe that queries need to contain specific information. If you can put that information in any order you want, you can add other things if you feel like that'll be beneficial for the agent to know. Mm-hmm. But actually breaking it down sentence by sentence, here you introduce yourself, here is an online pitch, right. Here are your comps. That I don't find that necessary. Okay. I'm going to read the whole thing no matter what. And that's a golden rule. I'm always going to read the whole thing.
That's so good.
As long as all the information I need to know who you are, what your book is about, and all of that is in there, then go wild,
Yeah, that's good. I think that a lot of authors get stuck in this rut, because I have always had a really hard time with queries. They don't come naturally to me. I can write the whole book, but to condense it down into the 250 words or whatever is painful. So, I think a lot of people struggle with that, and then authors will put it on all these websites to have other people critique it, which isn't always the best thing either, because people are mean and it doesn't always go so good. But it's then you get in this oh no, I can't fit it in this specific formula. You try to do something different and then people shut it down. So it's just good. It's good to know that it's okay to shake it up, but I don't know, I think queries, there's some agents that would go the other way and say,
I think that's always going to be true. Yeah, there's always differing opinions. I think queries are one of the great ironies of the publishing industry, because basically what authors have to do is create a pitch to sell their book to an agent who then is going to say, okay, I'll sell your book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
it is my job for the clients that I sign to sell their books, and yet I'm sitting here telling you, sell me your book so I can sell your book, and it doesn't necessarily make sense in the long run, but in the end, there has to be some way for you all to pitch us, and that is, I guess, the way that we decided on 100-some years ago, and we've stuck with it. Going back.
It's better than us sending you our full and complete novel and you having to read that to decide.
Is very true.
Yeah, I understand that aspect of it. Yes. So I'm like, okay, I'll write the freaking query letter.
Totally.
So for you, in your experience reading query letters, what is your number one query no-no?
Man, I have a couple. I guess the first two kind of go hand in hand, which would be, don't be overly familiar with me. I'm not your best friend, so don't, talk about my childhood dog that passed away that you know about because you read it on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
kind of simple. This is the beginning of a business relationship, and so keep it professional,
Right.
So I do tend to feel uncomfortable when people start out their queries talking as if we know each other, when we don't. So that goes hand in hand with the second one, which is, you know, always be professional.
Yeah.
And just think of it as like almost a job interview, you know. This is the beginning of what you want, you meaning the author, wants to be a long-term relationship and a professional relationship. And you wouldn't, you know, go to a job interview and be overly familiar and ask super personal questions or call out super personal information that you found out via stalking some interviewer's Facebook, you know.
Yeah.
Don't do it with me either. The other thing is very small, but it is pet peeve of mine, which is spell my name right.
Oh, yes.
Which I see at least 10 times a day, yikes. You know, and it really bothers me because, you know, it falls in the be professional category, but, you know, show that you've done your research. I'm sure you have done your research, you know, because you picked me out of all of the other agents at New Leaf, let alone all the other agents in the world, yeah. And just show me that you actually know that my name is Devin, or not, and not Dennis, I'm not a man, you know, my picture's right there, so it is one of those things, or spelling my name with O instead of an I, yeah. I understand that many women spell their name with an O instead of an I, but not I, so...
I mean, when I query, I, like, have the page of the agent up and my email, so sometimes I, like, copy and paste if I'm, like, I'm going to spell it wrong. Like, that seems normal. I didn't realize people did that so much.
Yeah, it happens more frequently than I would guess, and, like, of course, every once in a while there will be a typo, and I don't mind typos in queries. I'd mind if there are 40 typos in a query, yeah. But everyone makes human error. Like, that I don't mind, but... when it comes to my name, like, you should know it because you want me to work with you for right. The next 15 years of your career. I'm going to look at your name when I email you back asking for the full. You should therefore look at my name when you're emailing me to begin with.
That is a good one. And I think it just shows that I think like querying people can do it in a rush. They'll send out, you know, like 50 in a day or in a week or whatever. And they're just doing it like a robot mindlessly. And it's okay to slow down and put some more thought into what you're sending out because it is a business relationship. It's like an interview. Yeah. Like you said, you want to make sure to put your best foot forward.
Yes, completely, completely. It's number one for me.
Oh, well, those are good query reminders. So what things in a query or first pages that people send you will make you stop reading immediately?
I don't like being confused. Mm. I feel pretty strongly that your first few pages of a manuscript should be grounding the reader and, you know, immersing them in the world that they're going to be in for the next few pages or next few hundred pages, you yeah. know? And so when you are writing a fantasy novel and you use 15 different unknown terms in the first few pages, that's very confusing for me. And super. You really have to settle your reader in before you give them too much information. So almost always if I like am reading the pages and I am just confused and lost and don't know who's speaking or what kind of world we're in and you haven't told me the main character's name yet, I will give up because I'm just like, well, if this is the first few pages, then what is the rest of this going to look like?
Yeah.
So that's always the big one for me.
And in your, this is just a random question, but do you, if you have the ability to, when you send responses, do you give them that feedback or do you not have the time to do that?
I'll give that feedback definitely if I request the full.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I kind of go back and forth about whether I should give feedback on queries because sometimes, you know, I'll get a query that says, like, here, this is my novel, and it'll sound great, and then I'll get to the last line where it says it's 250,000 words, right? And every time I see one of those, which, you know, isn't always, but it happens semi-frequently, I had this thought go through my mind of, should I email this author and say, you know, 250,000 words is way outside the parameters of what is a normal length for a novel, right? Yeah. And so every once in a while I will, but that also kind of provides me with a predicament myself of then opening the door to a conversation that I don't necessarily want to prolong long term. Because I have found too that sometimes when you offer that feedback, then
you get a response.
The conversation, yes, exactly. The conversation turns to, oh, well, if I cut it down to 200,000 words, will you read it? No, that's still twice as long as it should be, you know? Yeah. And then, you know, it sounds cold, and I get that, but when you're an agent and you live off of commission, literally every minute you're working is in sending these emails to people that, you know, you don't represent, you're taking money out of your own pocket, you know? So it's hard to balance the, I want to help, but also I don't necessarily have the time to help everyone.
Yes. Well, here, you can help right here by telling them in this interview. That's way too long. And I think, you know, in the query responses I've gotten, I've appreciated some of, like, the more personal feedback I've gotten. But I also, you know, in doing these interviews and talking with a lot of, you know, authors, and I realize that, you know, have more come to realize that it's a business. I think a lot of people who are maybe first starting into it are not that it's that the passion is bad, but they're so passionate about it. They have their heart in it, and they don't see that it's not personal at the agent and, like, editor level. It is a business. It's your job. Like you said, you're making your living off of it. And I think that can be hard for authors sometimes when they're, you know, bleeding and dying over this manuscript.
I completely get that. I think that just as equally is a realization that every agent comes to on their own as well. Like, we all know it's a business because it's how we make the money, but there are times where you really want to work on a project because your heart is there, you're passionate about it, but the reality of the fact is that, you know, there's a good chance it won't sell.
Yeah.
And so we have to make those decisions as well. Do we put the effort to work on it because we believe in it so much anyways, even though we don't probably sell, or do we, you know, pass up the opportunity to work on something else that has a better chance? And, you know, all of us have this epiphany, I need to be a little bit more realistic with my time and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a struggle on both sides, I see.
It is.
My next question is, what is your favorite thing to see in a query? What's something that gets you really excited? Obviously, when it's interesting and you're not confused, but more than that.
I love great comp titles. It's always something that I first look at a query. What are we comping this to? And I love it when an author has researched me and says, like, oh, Devin did an interview and said that she loved this book specifically. I'm going to use that as a comp. Or this is a client of hers. She signed as client and sold their book. I'm going to use them as a comp. Having that insight to do just a little bit extra research, which I know is difficult when you're querying a lot of people and you've had a lot of rejections, but I always see it and appreciate it. And I am much more likely to, you know, carry through reading pages, even if I am slightly confused, if I'm like, oh my God, they comp this to my favorite book of all time. I have to read this, you know?
I think that's awesome. I, for a long time, didn't really, I can't remember what year it was. I feel like it was forever ago, but probably like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I was querying a novel. It was dystopian YA, and I didn't even include comp titles because part of me was really like, the comp titles I was wanted to use were like huge books that were crazy popular, and I was like, that feels weird to compare my book to, like, you know, like a best-selling book. But now, going through it, and I just finished a like YA mystery crime novel, and I've been reading a lot of that same genre, and I was like, oh, these are perfect to use. And I feel like it definitely is good to have a frame of reference. That's really kind of what I feel like it uses it for, and that's can be really helpful when you see so many queries.
Yeah, completely. I mean, anytime someone comps one of the authors I work with, even the lesser known ones or the ones that whose books are going to come out next year or whatever, I always see that and I always recognize that. I had a person queried me a couple weeks ago where they actually mentioned an article that came out about a project that I had just sold, which was an adult queer romance. And they were like, I see what you're doing. I see what you're trying to accomplish with your list. And I really appreciate, like, the efforts you're making towards this genre or whatever. And I requested that manuscript because I was like, heck yeah, like, you are a great person, you see what I'm doing, I see what you're doing, we can make this a great symbiotic relationship, you know?
And that's the, like, when they're familiar with you, but in a professional way, right? Like, that was a good example of that.
Exactly, yes, yeah. I mean, that was them looking at my client list, the sales that I've made, and saying, she is working in my space and she understands what I'm trying to accomplish, right? That's exactly the type of research that an author should be doing when they're querying agents.
Yeah, I love that. So my last question really on queries, but what are your like big tips or golden rules for authors who are querying?
So I think the thing that I like to see the most is a personality behind the query, right?
Yeah.
I mean, always keep it professional, right? But I like to understand that I will be working with a real human being. So usually what that, how that, you know, manifests in a query itself is a bio that explains who you are and what you're doing and why you're writing. And I think a lot of people feel like, oh, I've never had a book published before. Like,
right.
I don't really need to put anything in the bio. And I just firmly believe that's not true, because really what I'm looking for when I'm reading queries is, of course, a marketable idea and a great book and good writing. But I'm also going to be working with you, the human behind the book. And that's what this is all about, right? It's
yeah.
about forming relationships in the industry and having them be long-term. And so I'm always looking for, you know, someone that's a real person behind the story. Tell me where you live. Tell me about your cat that you love. Tell me, you know, where you went to college. Tell me anything that you think I should know that's important about you as a human being. And I really value that. I requested a query just, a full from a query just last week, because the query made me laugh like 5 different times. And the story itself was a rom-com, so like, okay. But it wasn't even the pitch that was making me laugh, which it did, but the author was telling me about herself, and she just sounded quirky and, like, a really fun, like, human person to work with, and I was just like, you know what, the pitch is good, the writing's obviously good, this girl sounds great, like, I want to read this, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good reminder for people, because I think a lot of unpublished authors are scared to put anything in the query. They're like, oh, well, I'm not published, so that's just, if I say that, that's going to be weird. You know, like, they don't need to
yeah.
know. So that is good, a good tip for people to show a little bit more personality in a query.
Yeah. I mean, do still be professional,
yes.
but show me that you are a real person in the world. I think that, you know, there's a certain aspect of querying agents where it's like very unknown throwing it out into the world, and agents have become jaded, and you know, they're like, oh, I don't need this, I don't need that. But in the end, what we're all looking for is, you know, a book to work on and a person that we enjoy working with, right? Because
yeah.
working with someone that's a terror is going to not be a good relationship for anyone involved.
No.
And so just showing everyone that, you know, all you're trying to do is get your book published, and you're a real human, and we're real humans. We'll all be real humans together, and it'll be great.
I love that. So when you request fulls or partials, do you you obviously consider the manuscript, but do you consider anything else in an author? Do you look them up on Twitter or look for their website or blogs or anything?
You know, every once in a while, if a author mentions, like, they have a platform, or, you know, I run this Instagram channel where I have, like, a good following or whatever it is, I'll look them up for that reason.
Yeah.
But I don't typically go searching for that. When I found a manuscript that I've requested, I read the full, and I'm interested in working with them, I usually suss out other information from an actual call with them. And for me, that's almost always, what are your like long-term ambitions with being a writer? It's really important to me to work with authors who want to have a long-term career. And I'm more interested in working with authors that have, you know, 5-6 ideas down the line than one idea right now to sell this book, because
yeah.
I want to work with you long term. I want to grow careers. I want authors' careers to grow with my own, and to be able to sell a book for you now, but then also sell a book for you a year and a half from now. And that benefits both of us in the long term. And building careers is really what it's all about, right? You sell a book, you try to make it as successful as possible, and then you sell another book. And
for
so
sure.
That's really what I'm looking for, and that usually doesn't come from the actual query, and that's something you find out when you're talking with the person. I say that because sometimes, you know, I'll get a query that says, I've written this novel, you know, it's this length, it's great. I've also written the 3 sequels to this novel, you know, and that's great. great. I'm great you have that much time on your hands and you've been able to accomplish that. And right. that's no small feat, and I don't want to belittle that. But in the end, if I can't sell the first one in a series, I can't sell the next three either.
No.
And so that doesn't matter to me that much. It's nice to know that this has series potential or something like that. But knowing that those are all written, that's actually not great news, because if you have an editor, which you will if I sell your book, they're going to want to edit your book. I've never met an editor that didn't want to edit. So the odds that the next three books in your series that you've already written are going to fit into whatever the editor edits in your first book, it's not great.
No, you know? That sounds like a lot of work already.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, there are a lot of important things, but like I said, the thing I'm always looking for is long-term relationships, authors that are ambitious and trying to take over the world, and so that usually doesn't actually come from a query or a manuscript itself, but the subsequent call after the fact.
That's good to know. I think there's a lot of emphasis, I feel like, on social media and having a big platform before you even get started, which I think there's definitely pros to that, but I think... you know, I think sometimes there's too much focus put on it when it's like your work really needs to be super good or that platform doesn't really matter at all.
Yeah. You know, a little platform is helpful, but there's also, you know, in a lot of cases, unless your following is very specific, it's not going to help hugely with book sales, yeah. You know. A lot of times what ends up happening is authors have, you know, some platform, not non-existent platform, and then that grows over time with their sales and books that get published and their fan base growing. So it's always good to know that you have somewhere to start, but it's not make it or break it.
Good to know. I think that's something that authors might be comforted to hear, that they don't need to spend so much time on the social media part of it right now, which I think social media is just in our face a lot. I like to put
yes,
it away.
I think that social media can be really, really hard and sometimes toxic too. So yeah. not focusing all of your attention on it is important.
Definitely. Well, that is some great information on queries. I think, like I said earlier, queries are a lot of people, I think I've met a couple authors who were like, oh yeah, query is no problem for me, but I think a lot of people really stressed over them. So it's always good to get feedback and information from you, an agent, the people who receive the query. That's real helpful.
Completely.
So my next question for you is, what is on your manuscript wish list right now?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. I've been looking at more and requesting more manuscripts actually on the adult side. My list is about half and half YA and adult. And so I've been requesting a lot more contemporary romance and women's fiction. I'm just looking for a little bit more lighter reading in my life right now. So that seems to be where I'm leaning. On the YA side, my list has gotten a little bit heavy on the contemporary. So I guess what I'm really looking for there is maybe some good horror, which I always enjoy, or a good thriller, which I also enjoy. But I'm not requesting as much contemporary just because I am working with so many talented contemporary authors at this time. So, yeah, I think that's kind of it. I have started dabbling a little bit in middle grade, but I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily looking for that right now. So authors be warned. when I am, I will shout from the rooftops.
Good to know.
But not really right now.
Not really right now. Perfect. My last question that I love to ask everybody, because the reason we're all here is books. What is your favorite book right now? This is not your favorite book of all time. This is just a favorite book that you've read recently.
Yes, that's very easy for me because I have been clutching it in my arms for weeks.
Oh, perfect.
Red, White, and Royal Blue.
Oh, I've seen that one.
I know. I think everyone has just been screaming about it since it hit the bestseller list probably a couple months ago now. But yeah, it's just phenomenal. It's a romance. It's a gay romance. And it's just the chemistry between the main characters is just phenomenal, and it's great. Highly recommend. Everyone should go pick it up.
I love that. I really just love that boom of queer and all that sort of aspect of writing that's really blooming right now.
Yes.
I think that's amazing. I, you know, when I was younger, there was nothing like that, I feel like. Nothing as mainstream is probably not the right word, but nothing as popular as what there is right now. I think it's really wonderful to see all of that. I read a really good one recently, Tom Ryan, Keep It to Yourself. It was a mystery, like murder in a small town, but, you know, the main character is gay and has a romance, and it was just the best. Like, it doesn't matter for me, like, what it is, who it is. I just love, and I just want to read about it. So I think that's awesome.
I completely agree. I think that, you know, in this case, you just fall in love with both of the characters so quickly, and they're, like, polar opposites, and you're like, I know this is gonna work out, but how are they gonna get there? And it was just such a fun read. It was the first book in a really long time that I've stayed up until like 3 a.m. reading because I didn't want to put it down, which, you know, I read a lot. I read for a living. So it's harder to find those books that just suck you in immediately. And this was one of them.
That is so great. I've been seeing it all over and I need to put it on my list. I have such like a, I'm so deep in ARCs in my reading schedule that it's hard to fit in other books.
Yes, I get that. I can relate to that on a spiritual level.
Yes. Well, Devin, thank you so much for chatting with me for the podcast. This has been amazing, and you've been a fountain of wonderful information.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been lovely chatting.
All right, everybody. How amazing was that? Our first literary agent on the podcast and sharing so much incredible information with us. As always, please rate and review this episode wherever you find it. It really helps me a lot. And follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Rose Quinney, Quinny. And send me a quick message if you want to be on the podcast or you have a question, have a favorite book you want to share, anything like that. Alrighty, guys, until next time.